Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We do have Browns Chiefs in Cleveland. Will Tay-Tay be here? That's all anybody wants to know except us. But we've got that going on. The Kelce's back in town. Oh, yeah. The Browns are only 4-point dogs in this game. To talk about all of it, we welcome on Kansas City Chiefs color analyst, former Chiefs player as well, Danan Hughes, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danan, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Doing really well here. It's a football Friday. It's an F-off Friday, and we like to have fun. So I do want to know, though, are you sweating this game because the Chiefs are only 4-point favorites on the road against Cleveland?
Well, define sweating, because we play close games, so it feels where we're used to playing close games. We're used to not covering the spread. I will say that when you're playing against a 3-10 team that's not playing for playoffs, I don't know if it is, but I would guess it's one of the biggest games of the season that they will host, and you have an opportunity to put a blemish on the two-time defending Super Bowl champs record, I would assume that they would come out with some incentive. So because we play close games, I would say, yeah, I'm a little nervous because, you know, anything can sway one way or the other with a kick here or there.
There's another part of this I've been thinking about, and I'm sure you've discussed at length at this point, but the fact that the Chiefs play three games in 11 days, and obviously you have a Christmas Day game in between there where it's Netflix. That's going to be 35 million people potentially watching that game. Is there a chance that this 1 o'clock game against the Browns maybe doesn't get the full effort and attention that it should with so many games jam-packed into such a tiny amount of time for the Chiefs?
Well, the biggest question is it going to be fooling on Christmas on Netflix like the Tyson fight? Like, we got to be concerned about that. Now, I would say this. The Chiefs have been in this situation before. When you win two straight Super Bowls, when you've won three in the last five, and you've been down this road and you know that you're going to get the best of every opponent, you know and you prepare for it. And I don't think they are accustomed to overlooking anybody. If if they have, they've had some reality checks as of late. When you go down to Carolina and you wind up having to go to overtime to win a game, and you play against the Raiders and you need a snafu on a snap to win the game. Like, I feel like there's some reality checks this year that this Chiefs team has gone through that would not allow them, and would not allow Andy Reid to allow them to have any kind of overlooking mechanism, I guess you can say. Like, we know what we're in store for, and playing three of the final four games of the season on the road, as you mentioned, three of those in 11 days. I don't know who the schedule makers were, but to take a team that's played the most football games in the last six-year stretch and then force them to play three road games in 4 weeks, and three of those games being in 11-day span to go into the playoffs. Like, we're fortunate that we're sitting at the one seed right now, and I think that's where the mindset is, to do whatever it takes to keep the one seed so we can get that bye week on the first round of the playoffs.
Dana Hughes in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Have you ever seen a more disrespected 12-1 team? Because everyone, and I mean everyone, has put the Chiefs on fraud watch all season long.
Yeah, I would say I understand it, because we play such close games, and we play teams that aren't as good as us, and we played them close, where you can make an argument that there were a few games that we should have lost. I saw a stat the other day that up until 2 minutes left in the game, if the game ended with the 2 minute warning, we would be 8-5 right now versus 12-1. So that tells you that some of the disrespect is probably warranted, but at the same time, you can only go back to that well so many times, where you got to put yourself in a position to win football games without having it come down literally to the clock hitting zero or going in overtime. So we're fortunate. I don't know if we're lucky. I hadn't bought into the whole luck thing. I think there are teams out there. You think about Brendan Staley with the Chargers the last 4 years, where there are teams, and the Cowboys earlier this year, the Saints, started off 2-0 and then went down the drain. There are teams that just figure out ways to lose games, while there are other teams that figure out ways to win. And the Chiefs have been that team, not just this year, but basically for the whole Patrick Mahomes tenure. So I get it. I feel like maybe it could be a rallying cry for this team, where they say we're disrespected, nobody believes in us, they're calling us the worst 12-1 team ever. I get it, and if that's going to be a motivating factor that's going to get us to New Orleans, then I'll take it.
Andy Reid is about 3 years away from being the all-time winningest head coach in NFL history. He doesn't have the titles to match Belichick, but he's getting up there, and who knows what the next 3 years do. Is he the best coach to ever coach, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say he's one of the best, if not the best, and you can make an argument, and I'm not trying to dodge the question, one, because I don't play for him, but what I do see from my vantage point as a color analyst, this is my fifth season in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been around this program even before that, when I was doing just the pregame and postgame shows, and I got to see his ability to generate energy from young talent. And I think if you look back in history, and it doesn't matter what sport, you can tell where older coaches have that older philosophy that doesn't necessarily mesh with the younger guys. And the fact that he's able to kind of transform, whether it's with the Eagles and the Deshaun Jackson and Donovan McNabb and T.O.'s and the older guys, and then you have the Jason Kelce's that come in and go, and still are able to, like, get the best out of guys, and still able to, like, maneuver all of the ins and outs of social media, and now he's in commercials. Like, I feel like he's that grandfather figure that you don't want to ever, let down, but it's his ability to be able to transform from generation to generation and still have that same success puts him at the top of the list to me. I feel like part of that probably is what drove out Bill Belichick and a lot of older coaches in the past, because they just felt like it wasn't that the game passed them by, but maybe the generations of kids and how they came in and young men that had to coach maybe just wasn't the same. But Andy Reid, I give him credit. Like, whether it's a first-year guy or a 10-year guy on this roster, they love him equally, and they'll run through a brick wall for him.
Dane, and this is a dreaded two-parter. One, do you ever find yourself saying, Bundelarooski, like I do?
I guess I should learn how to say that. Maybe I'll have that as part of my broadcast on Sunday. That would be fun, but it looked like Patrick couldn't even contain himself while Andy was saying that in the commercial.
So the other thing that, and that's nothing to do with the first part, it's not really a two-parter, they're two separate questions, but the other thing is, I've seen this logic that it might actually be good for the Chiefs if they lose one of these games. They've won three straight, they're 12-1, but that playing this way might wake up the inner beast within them and set them off on a run. Do you buy into that idea of the power of a loss like this Browns game on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't believe in the whole moral victory thing, especially at the NFL level. But I will say last year, somebody can make an argument. Last year, we lost on Christmas Day to the Raiders. They were nowhere near the type of team that should have beaten us. They had, one passing yard after the second quarter? They only scored two touchdowns on a scoop and score and a pick six, and they beat us at home. And I feel like that was like a resetting moment for the team where we didn't lose a game for basically 11 months from there. Now, does that mean that should happen this year? I don't think so. I think in this season, last year we lost six games. So it was kind of one of those resetting moments that was necessary at the time. This year, with only losing one game and being in pole position for that number one seed, after where it will come after playing three games in 11 days, like, I feel like there's no reason to think that a loss now to bring us closer to the Bills or bring the Bills closer to us and then put pressure on us to have to win those last games, again, especially against the Broncos in January up in Denver. Like, I believe the organization would love to just stay in the pole position and not have to play your starters and basically give those guys 1.5 to 2 weeks of a bye going into the divisional round and force everybody to go through Arrowhead Stadium to the Super Bowl.
You know, it must be fun when you do these interviews because not many people are really, or even like yourself, I'd imagine, you don't spend too much time talking about the Browns leading up to a Browns week. It's all like, hey, if the Chiefs play their best game, Chiefs are going to win and they'll take care of business. So how do we fix the Chiefs? But in your conversations leading up to this, how have you approached the Browns conversation of what's gone incredibly wrong this year?
Well, I think that when you look across the landscape of the NFL, the teams that don't seem to have an identity are the teams that usually don't have success. And whether that identity is protecting the football, running the football, great defense, I mean, you guys have had success in Cleveland in past years, and you can probably go back to specific details of those teams to say, you know what, this is why we won. This is why we were a force in the AFC North. This is why we were put in a position where, heck, when you played the Chiefs in the playoffs, you guys were in a position to unseat us at home, and magic happened. So I feel like when I look at the Browns, they just don't seem like a team that has identity. When you had Deshaun Watson, you didn't know what you were getting. Maybe you hoped that you got more. Jameis Winston is a guy that can make big plays, but he can also have some blunders as well. And then defensively, with so many injuries and there's just question marks, I just feel like if I was drawing up a scouting report for the Browns, it just seems like a team that just lacked an identity that you can latch on to that would equate to wins. Like, our team, as crazy as it sounds, we got the best tight end in the league and Travis Kelce. We got the best quarterback and Patrick Mahomes. But you can make an argument that the identity of our team is our defense. And that's okay. We're latching on to that. And if we got to beat teams 19-16 or 19-17 or last-second field goals because our defense is holding teams under 20 points, then these guys are buying into it. They're not trying to force feed you a perfect, you know, greatest show on grass type of offense when that's not necessarily our identity.
Danen, great stuff, man. Every time you come on, you kill it with us. We really appreciate you. Enjoy Cleveland this weekend if you're coming this way. And we, one more time, happy holidays and all the good stuff, buddy.
Same to you guys. Have a blessed and happy holidays as well.
Thank you so much. Danen Hughes there, Chiefs analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Played for the Chiefs once upon a time as well. We'll react to what he had to say. I thought that identity stuff was really, really interesting. And I think the Cleveland media, including us, might have lost the plot on this Browns-Chiefs game. And it has nothing to do with the Kelce's or Taylor Swift, 92.3 The Fan. I think that is a really interesting thing that other people can look at the Browns and go, they don't have an identity. And Stefanski has scoffed at that before, saying our identity is whatever we need it to be on any given day. And I think when we get to, like, big picture, like, how does this team get to 3-14 if that's what they end up at? A lack of identity is something that I think is not to be scoffed at.
Yeah, but one thing I think is really interesting on that, Nick, is the idea that, and Danen says it, how the Chiefs have kind of morphed their identity into something different. They have the best player, or whatever you want to call, I don't know, again, he's not... He's having a down year relative to normal Patrick Mahomes years.
Yeah,
the same way he had a down year last year.
Better than every other quarterback, yeah.
He's amazing. We'll just call it that way. They have an amazing quarterback, and he's like, the identity right now is the defense. The defense carries everything. They don't allow teams to score 20 points, and so Mahomes knows he can do whatever he needs to do. That's the identity. When you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and your identity is something away from that quarterback, and that quarterback is cool with that being the identity, it's just, it's night and day, and you've seen it evolve. It was not always this way, obviously. With the Chiefs, the first year they won the Super Bowl, they had one of the worst defenses to ever win a Super Bowl in league history. And they've changed it, they morphed it, and they got it to a spot now.
See, I think that's what's so interesting about it is because, like, we view, like, the Steelers' identity has really never changed.
Exactly right.
I mean, you had a couple years where they were a pretty aggressive offense down the field when Ben Roethlisberger threw for, like, 4,500 yards, but when they've been their best, it's been the ground and pound with selective passing and a defense that is just annihilates you from the pass rush side of things. But I think that, like, when we talk about identity, I'm not talking about year to year, like, what do you know is, because that's an old school football thing. I am talking kind of like what Danen's saying, which is on any given year, what's your identity? Last year, it was elite defense and a big play offense. And with honestly, a much better running game than this year.
But it was very defined. I don't think we've talked enough about or given enough credit to the idea that you knew what you were getting. Like a nice restaurant, when you go in there and you're like, I'm getting the steak here. They're known for the steak. You knew when you were taking on the Browns, great defense. You got to worry about the defense. They're one of the best in the NFL. Other side of things, Joe Flacco is going to throw like crazy all over the place.
And he's going to make just enough big plays to kind of, not sneak past you, but to get that win. And he's going to limit his own kind of thing. This year, it's confounding. The defense just does not seem to have any consistency, any glue, which is wild that that's year two of a defense. The offense is incredibly one-dimensional. At the best, that's what they are. And they're not really good on either side of the ball in the trenches. It's Myles Garrett on the defense and Dalvin Tomlinson. Underrated dude, not giving enough love in Cleveland. And then it's an offensive line that, I'll be honest with you, I still think it's run fits. I still think it's the blocking scheme they're in. Because now I think they're healthy. They're still not as good as they've been previously. I hate to do this. I'm putting that on the O-line coach. I think it's all those things all at once. And that's a lot of failure on top of, Deshaun didn't work out.
Yeah, but it's a mystery, though. That's the problem. It's a mystery. It's a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get any given week with this team. And that's tough. Again, Chiefs, you know what you're getting. It's going to the fast food place. Why do fast food places succeed, Nick?
Because of fat people like me.
Fat people like you. Yeah. When fat people like you go there, you know the cheeseburger is going to taste the same in Nebraska that it'll taste in Cleveland, and you know what you're going to get. And right now with the Chiefs, you know what you're getting when you take them, and it's good luck beating it. With the Browns, I have no idea what you're getting any given week.
I'd also say a raise in food addiction. We have lost the plot on this game, and I'm so ashamed. I think we owe an absolute huge... I mean, gigantic apology to everybody out there listening.
Oh, yeah?
And it's not just us. It's every paper in town. It's every... How has no one talked about the Kareem Hunt revenge game in Cleveland that is 100% going to happen this weekend.
There's been articles written.
We radio guys have completely bleeped the bed.
I think it's our fault. I did see something. I think Cleveland.com had it. Was it yesterday? A whole article about Kareem Hunt.
So right now on FanDuel, because I was just looking, you can't do over-under. I couldn't find over-unders for Kareem on yardage.
Okay.
You can do anytime touchdown, first touchdown, touchdown.
He's got in the end zone, I think, once in maybe the past 5 or 6 weeks
or so? And that's why I would take...
Well, Pacheco's back.
Yeah. Well, okay. Pacheco hasn't been that good.
He's only been back like 2 weeks now, three
weeks.
Would
it surprise you? Would it surprise you? Clearly, the Browns in that the first Steelers game, they made it a point to get Nick Chubb the ball in the goal line to get him that touchdown to have that win. Would it surprise you if the Chiefs did that? The old bleep around and find out?
Jax is nodding his head like I've never seen him. Don't listen to Jax.
Well, here's
Jax plays the storylines. Jax is the guy being like, A.J. Brown's going to go off because Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown feuded this week. Ergo, he's going to absolutely feast. And it's like, they don't always account for these things. Like, I don't think Andy Reid is like,
it's going to happen.
Kareem Hunt revenge game at play here.
I will tell you, Kareem Hunt wants this one more than he's wanted any game in the history of this.
I don't know that he wants this one more than any other game he's ever wanted.
I'm going to tell you, Kareem and the Browns did not end up on the best. I'm not breaking news here. I think we remember the sit-in. I think we remember they begrudgingly brought him back after Nick Chubb last year. I think we all knew there was not a chance in hell he was coming back this year. The man sat on the couch until... Was it 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago?
He was told by all the NFL he couldn't do it anymore, and he's having a great season, was having a great season up until a couple weeks ago with the Chiefs.
The first touchdown, so to score the first touchdown, Kareem Hunt TD prop is plus 1,500. I'm putting some shekels on that. I'm going to put 10 shekels on that. That does not sound that impressive.
It doesn't sound like a vote of confidence there.
I'm putting like a mid-burger amount.
I was going to say, you put your pizza money on it. Congratulations.
Yeah, but $10 for plus $1,500? Hello, doctor. I'm going to have that money to play the rest of the game.
Hello, what?
Hello, doctor.
Hello, doctor. Okay, I like that. Okay.
I almost went, hey, lady, and then I realized Jerry Lewis is dead. I don't know why I'd pull that out of the ether.
Okay.
Hey, lady!
Okay? When you go theater, I always love it. Yeah. When you go a little extra.
Every once in a while, I let everyone know in Cleveland that, yes, I was a loser 20 years ago, too. It's not a new development.
I think with Pacheco there, I don't think they're going to care about Kareem Hunt's feelings in this game.
Yeah, see, this is how you don't get that boost.
They have to feed Pacheco. They have to give him. He wasn't able to get in the end zone last week. He's coming. He's back. He's in the fold. They got to worry about their team. Although I do wonder about the idea that they use Kareem Hunt a ton only because... what I mentioned there with Dane and the fact that they play three games in 11 days. Mm. You play three games in 11 days, and the next two games they play, including, by the way, the Christmas game, you got the Texans and then the Steelers on Christmas. Those are two playoff teams. Those are two measuring stick games, two nationwide eyeballs on you. You're probably not worried as much about the 1 o'clock Cleveland game.
I'm just going to tell you right now, and I hate the NFL script writers joke because that's such an overplayed joke. And honestly, it was overplayed like a year and a half ago. Oh, script writers, you could not write this script. Andy Reid will be getting Kareem Hunt a touchdown on that first drive one way or another, and you will hear about it. The second it happens on Sunday, Jax and I will both be tweeting and texting you about how right we both were.
This feels like a lose-lose situation, because if Kareem doesn't get in the end zone, you guys are like, yeah, dude hasn't found pay dirt in 6 weeks. What'd you expect?
No.
It was plus 1,500s. It was low odds anyway
for
him to be the first touchdown.
In fairness.
If he scores the very first touchdown of the game and you get the plus 1,500, I will genuflect at the altar of Jackson and Nick Wilson here.
What about any time touchdown? I'm saying it's going to happen. Doing the extra.
I don't agree on the first touchdown. He's going to score, though.
What's the anytime touchdown line?
Plus 280. I think he's got like the seventh best touchdown odds in this game for a guy who hasn't sniffed the end zone in 6 weeks. Vegas knows.
No, Vegas knows
what
I'm
saying.
Your
friends in the desert. You gotta talk to Guido. You gotta talk to Big Mole and Little Mole.
Don't talk to Big Mole like that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell you. You need to talk to your friends.
Don't put Guido in the corner.
Hey, nobody puts Luigi in the corner.
They're all big by the Big Al, Big Mole.
Well, no, then you gotta have a Lil, right?
Big Met.
It's basically rappers have just taken mobsters' names
and just downsized.
Yeah. Like two times Tony. No, that was the worst suggestion I could possibly give for that one. No, isn't it? What's the one from Goodfellas? I'm going to go get the papers. Get the papers. What's that one?
I don't know.
How dare you? I thought you were supposed to have friends in the desert.
I just don't know that one.
I thought you were supposed to have. No, the revenge game, it's happening. The most conservative thing I could do in this scenario is just do the anytime touchdown.
Well, now I'm upset all my friends in the deserts are named like Tim. Why don't they have cool names anymore? What happened to the cool names?
Hey, it's Tanner in the desert.
I'm talking to Carson in the desert. Oh, great.
Yeah, my name's Tanner. That sounds like Mike Tyson. That's not great either. But no, we've lost the plot. That's happening. That bleep is happening.
Well, a lot of people are phrasing this one as Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. They're comboing them up as like both they came back home. Vocal kids done good, and now they're, you know, out there doing the thing.
It's so funny because people get upset. Like in Charlotte when I was there, they were so obsessed with Steph Curry wanting to come and play in Charlotte before finishing up his career. And I'm like, maybe when he's like 40. Maybe when he's like Satchel Paige and he needs like a rocker, why would he go to this Hornets team though?
Yeah, it's not even gonna happen at this point.
But Michael Jordan is like, Michael Jordan's a bad owner. He might like Michael Jordan the player, but there's no, like, even with Travis Kelce, like, when's Travis gonna come home? Probably never. He's probably gonna plan his career with Mahomes.
He's got no chance to leave Mahomes. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well,
there. There's not gonna be a situation where Mahomes just stinks in the next 5 years, and Kelce's not playing until he's 40.
Even after that, when he retires, he's just gonna go marry a beautiful woman, maybe Taylor Swift, maybe not. Who knows? Not putting any pressure on the kids. You just live your life. And he's gonna move to New York, and they'll probably do what his brother's doing. They'll have some sort of media thing. But it's funny. I do think. It's always weird who we get in our heads that's going to do that. Like, I remember like 5 years ago, somebody like, hey, now that we got Baker, maybe Travis will come back. It's like, this is not going to happen.
But we talked about it a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, okay,
and the time,
there are other guys that we don't do that with.
At the time, though, you know, you'd have a lot of the Travis Brown, you know, wearing Bernie Kosar's jersey as a little kid and stuff like that. That was everywhere.
Yeah, but
Travis's
Quinn.
Career arc has just changed so much, though. He's legitimately vying to be the best tight end of all time. Well, also then, I mean, he's gonna retire a Chief. That's it. Like, he's going to go, he will only wear Chiefs uniforms, is what it means.
He's
to say.
He's going
to
ride that pony until it goes to the glue factory for Travis, because playing with Mahomes might get you an extra 2 or 3 years of numbers that you might not have gotten otherwise.
He's already kind of there.
Like, he kind of looks like a left tackle now.
You can see how this year, and even last year at times in the regular season, he's not the same player.
I thought it was the haircut. Ever since whatever haircut he's got with Tay Tay now, it looks like a wig.
What do you think about his Super Trooper stash that he sometimes wears?
Also, I'm happy that Taylor loves that, and it's a no-go for me.
It's so popular with like 22-year-olds though. It's weird that he's 35 and doing it.
Yeah,
and like, if I did it, it would be very weird.
And by the way, 22-year-olds, get your head out of your ass with these mustaches.
That's Paul Skeens.
Very few people can do the mustache in a meaningful way.
No, once Livy Dunn started, co-opting it and being like, "This is great," it was over. 22.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're always going to do it.
Don't make me make a mustache ride joke. 216-474-0092. When we come back, Jason Pinkston talks Browns Chiefs. Is he scared of the Kareem Hunt revenge game? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We got Browns Chiefs on Sunday here in Cleveland. This man that we're about to, not only is he a former Browns offensive lineman, he lives behind enemy lines in Pittsburgh. Maybe the biggest Taylor Swift fan I've ever met. I know he's got to be just hoping for sight of Tay-Tay this weekend. Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Did I get that right, JP?
You couldn't be further from correct if there was a correct one.
Well, I know you've got a wife and a daughter. Are you deluged with Taylor Swift music the way I am?
There's no Swifties under this roof.
Wow.
I can assure you that.
Wow, anti-Swift. That's a bold stance in 2024.
Congrats on all your success, my friend.
I did it right. I did things the right way down here.
Right. Where were you 20 years ago when I was picking a spouse? Pink, the Browns are, like, that's the biggest problem. Yeah. The Browns are 4-point dogs at home. You think they're going to win this game or steal this game maybe?
I've seen crazier things happen. You know, the Chiefs aren't playing. I mean, listen, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They're winning football games. They're winning close games, ugly games. For whatever reason, that guy's just, you know, they just pull it out when they need to, and they win the game. I'm just looking forward to be a close game and not get our doors blown off. If we can steal a win in Cleveland and send the Swifties packing, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, every game the Chiefs play has been close. And a few weeks ago, Mahomes was like, we're going to start blowing teams out. And then all they did was play close against the Raiders and the Panthers and then the Chargers. It's like, haven't really done that. If they do blow out the Browns this weekend, it's a lost season. I'm not expecting you to take too much away from it. But if they do blow them out, what would that mean to you?
Just disappointing. You know, it'd be very disappointing. You know, you want to see those guys continue to fight until the end and try to keep and salvage, you know, keep ourselves together. You know, you watch games on Sunday and you see some teams that are just bad, that just give up and roll over. Thankfully, you know, the games have been somewhat exciting, I would think to say. And, you know, we've been in it. But I do not want to see them get blown out, you know, because if they get blown out, you kind of things start to happen. The locker room falls apart. You know, I have seen Miles' comments today on the front office and from the top. So it seems like they're sticking together, even though that the season has been a total loss. So I do appreciate that they're sticking together and, you know, they're still willing to fight for their coach.
Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Miles said, and this is a slight paraphrasing going on here, but as long as Stefanski and Barry are here, he is right here as well. Is that does that just seal it up that he, you know, if Miles says that, do you think that guarantees Stefanski and Barry are back?
It doesn't guarantee it, but when your star player goes out and says something like that and, you know, puts his stamp on it, you know, you kind of get the attention of the, you know, some of those guys that make the decisions. And I'm sure at some point in time, there's going to be a conversation had between Miles and the front office. I think he's earned that. Not to say that he's going to be the decision maker. I think there's still going to be some changes made. But to me, it seems like, you know, they want those two guys around, and, you know, they may get their wish.
When it comes to Jerry Jeudy, he's averaging 113 yards now per game with Jameis Winston. Ping, just tell me why the connection seems so awesome with Jameis when it really just didn't exist in the early part of the season with Deshaun.
You know, when you find that rhythm with a quarterback, and you know you're scoring touchdowns and you're catching long passes, I mean, how can you not like him? You know, when things are not going as well, I mean, look at those guys over in Philly. You know, they got a winning record, and the you know, Jalen's not really throwing the ball to some of those receivers, and they're upset. They're speaking out, and you know, I love the connection that they've been able to form, and it's nice to see Jeudy starting to put these games together, and you know, he's kind of taking the top off of coverage, and you know, we need that. I love that for us. I love the connection, and hopefully, we can roll this into next year with whoever the quarterback may be.
All right, what are we feeling about quarterback? Can I get you on Jameis for a second year? You're thinking Sam Darnold? What are we drafting? Where are we going?
You know what? I think they're ultimately going to there's going to be another quarterback added. I do like Jameis Winston and what he's done, but time after time after time, you know, that those late interceptions kind of hurt us in the end. But I think if they don't make any changes, and if they bring Jameis back, and obviously Watson will be back in DTR, I think it's warranted to give Jameis Winston an opportunity to be the day one starter. I think he's shown us that he can throw the right passes and make plays, and the offense has obviously been more explosive with him in there. So, you know, if they don't get someone in free agency, you know, someone who's, you know, one of these quarterbacks that may be moving around here, I think it's okay. I mean, you know, nowadays when you're drafting these young quarterbacks in the NFL, they don't really have that time to sit back and really develop, nor do I think that we have a quarterback on our roster that we can put a young guy behind to sit back and really learn from and develop. It's, you know, times have changed, and now they're plugging these young guys in now, and they're seeing what they got. And, you know, unfortunately, if they – showing they can do it, you know, they stick with them. They show that they can't, they kind of move on, you know, pretty quick. I mean, you know, look at Bryce Young down in Carolina. You know, they're obviously not a very good football team, and they put him in there, and I think he was, you know, up against it and didn't perform well, obviously. And I think they kind of they're shying away from him a little bit. I know he's been thrown back in there, but it's tough, man. It is so hard picking the quarterback, and especially the right quarterback.
What would you do with Nick Chubb if he continues to struggle or even looks bad, let's say, in the Kansas City game? Because he has not looked good in a little bit here, but you still want to try to win games.
You know what? I didn't really have high expectations for Chubb coming back. It's just incredible that he's back out there on the field. You know, that a major surgery like that, I think he needs to just finish this year out healthy and then have a great offseason of, you know, getting stronger, working on his agility, his footwork, and then go into camp. I think it's warranted. I think that guy has done enough for this franchise and the community for the Browns that it's warranted to bring him back, you know, at some kind of a minimal deal just to keep a guy like that. When you have guys like Nick Chubb, you know, there's not many stand-up guys around the NFL that are true leaders. You know, he doesn't really talk. He just leads by example. You want that for your locker room.
Pink, are you expecting the revenge game of all revenge games from Kareem Hunt this weekend, his first trip back to Cleveland since going back to Kansas City?
You know, I hope not. You know, I like Kareem Hunt. I liked what he did for us here. You know, he was a big part, and I would hope that he has the respect to look at this team and Cleveland and to say, hey, you know what? They took a chance on me. You know, they gave me an opportunity when I had some things go wrong. And the offseason, you know, it was very obviously we all know about it. We all have seen the videos and things like that. But hopefully he just has that respect for those guys and doesn't go out there and, you know, try to, you know, do anything to upset anybody as far as the antics and whatnot. But, you know, I'm hoping he doesn't have a big game and we play well against him. And, you know, it's good for him that he's back in Kansas City. That's where he was. And, you know, he missed out on a couple of Super Bowls. And, you know, he played for us and he did a good job.
We had some heavyweight matchups this weekend. You got the Steelers and the Eagles. You got the Bills and the Lions. What game is grabbing the most of your attention?
Bills-Lions. I think that's going to be probably one of the better games this weekend. I think the Eagles will take care of the Steelers. Maybe that's what I'm just hoping for. But, yeah, there are some good games, some heavy hitters. I'm really looking forward to that Bills-Lions game. Josh Allen is playing phenomenal football. Detroit Lions are obviously, they're playing phenomenal football. I'm actually kind of pulling for Josh Allen because I want to see him get over the hump. And, you know, he's been in those big games and, you know, versus the Chiefs. And unfortunately, he's came up on the short end. But, I do have, you know, a little soft spot for the Lions. Like my Browns, they've been through a lot over the years. And, you know, last year was a great year for them. So that'll be a good one to see. I can't wait to watch that one.
All right, Pink, when it comes down, it's time. It's time to give your prediction for this game.
This is my first prediction in a long, long while. We didn't really have too many good ones to predict. it's going to be tough, man. I just don't see how, you know, you can kind of bet against Patrick Mahomes right now. They always find a way. Him and Travis Kelce have been a dynamic duo over the last couple years. Very, very unfortunate. But I think it's going to be a 21-7 Chiefs win. I'm sorry, guys.
Blowout. 14-point game. Okay.
I hate to say it. They're just a good football team. It's very hard to go against the Chiefs, even though I hate all the Swifties and all the antics from all the BS that goes on. I feel like we get more shots of the suite of who's in her suite and then seeing them jumping around. I can't stand it. But unfortunately, I think that's a very good football team walking in there, and it's going to be very, very tough to pull off.
All right, Pink, that is it. We asked for a prediction. And the good thing is, when you've gone heavy in a prediction, it's usually gone wrong. Like, oh, your close ones have been very good, but when you've been like, Browns by two touchdowns, it hasn't worked out. I'm hoping for the reverse jinx. How about you?
I've tried everything this year, so you know, I'm throwing stuff at the wall, and I hopefully something sticks. And maybe, you know, maybe this is the week we go and the Browns actually go in there or, you know, take care of business at home and we upset the Chiefs. It would be a huge win for us. It would be great for the team, for the morale, because, you know, everything's not been too peachy over the year. So if we can do it, great. If I got to be the bad guy and look like an idiot and predict it wrong, I'm put me in. Put me in, I'll take the heat.
I mean, I look like an idiot all the time. And as to this point, no repercussions. Pink, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, guys. Thank you.
Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I didn't see that coming.
He's anti-Taylor Swift, which was hysterical. And then he's got a blowout happening. Chiefs are 10-0 in one-score games. That's an NFL record, Nick.
Well, okay. They wouldn't think about
this
it.
The one that he just described right there would be the largest win the Chiefs have had this season.
Yep, but we wouldn't have to talk about the one-score game record. When we come back, we'll react to what Pink had to say about this game and react a little bit more on Myles Garrett's big stamp of approval for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry on 92.3 The Fan.